The shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
41-year-old man in Indiana named Randall Baker stole a Bud Light semi-truck from a liquor store on Friday afternoon. It's unclear if he had some kind of master plan or if he was just thirsty, but he refused to pull over when cops chased him down. So he led them on a chase before eventually hitting a sheriff's vehicle and then crashing into a field. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured. There's no word on how the beer is doing. Randall's blood alcohol level was 0.103, which is over the legal limit.
Yeah.
He was charged with attempted murder, auto theft, criminal recklessness, resisting arrest, reckless operation of a tractor trailer, and, of course, DWI.
Yeah.
Good times. Our question, why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Derek. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So it was back in 2013 or so. I was at the bar with my best friend and his girlfriend, and we had been hanging out, having a good time. Comes closing time, and I'm by far the most appropriate to be driving. So I drove his girlfriend's vehicle home, and we eventually got to a point where it's a long straight. No one's ahead of us. There's nothing. It's a 55. And I was like, yeah, it's a peppy little stick shift. So I started giving it the beams. And once we got up to about 80 miles an hour or so, I noticed about 500 feet ahead of us on the side of the road tucked away was a state trooper. And I panic slammed the brakes. And it's weather like this, mind you. Downshifted maybe one gear too many. And we ended up fishtailing and basically going past him sideways.
Good look. That's a great
all
look.
Right. You tripped and passed him.
Managed to maintain control and obviously got pulled over. Cop walks up to the window all nonchalant, just like, you almost lost it there.
I sure did, officer.
And I vaguely gestured to the stick. I'm not so used to this. It's not my car. Does the usual, license, registration, proof of insurance, and hand over my stuff. He pauses for a moment and said, sir, this is your medical marijuana card.
That's my proof of insurance, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of proof of insurance. my heart sinks. And I'm like, oh, sorry, hand him the right thing. He goes back to his car. He's only back there maybe 5-10 minutes. It felt like an hour. And he comes back to the window, just hands me a speeding ticket and says, all right, you just drive safe now. And that's when the passenger, the girlfriend, starts barking off. Well, can I see the radar receipts and all that?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Please. And you always know which one of the friend group is going to be.
Off.
Oh, yeah.
You always know who's going to start running their mouth.
Always. Always, like years ago, and I've told the story before, but we're waiting outside of a hotel. We're going to have a party with friends. There was a bad crime spree going on in Baltimore County at that time. And we were aware of it, but it wasn't top of mind. But it's February, it's freezing cold outside, so we're just sitting in the car. Me, Tony, buddy Leon. Security guard from the hotel drives by, asks us what we're doing there. And we said, look, honestly, man, friend of ours rented a room. We're going to have a party. It'll be low-key. It's not going to be a ton of people. And he's like, okay, have a good night. What we didn't know is that he called the cops. So we see all of these. There's 12 cop cars total. We're all looking out the window like, man, oh, man, what's that about? Then they pull into the parking lot, and we're like, oh, crap, something's going down. Then we realize, oh, they're here for us, right? So all the floodlights and these guys, like, they open the door and they're leveling rifles at us and all this kind of stuff. Immediately, my buddy Tony's like, what did you guys do? I'm like, dude, I haven't done anything that warrants this kind of response. So we're just sitting in the car. The cops come up, like I say, guns drawn. And I remember Leon rolled down the window, and I just love this line. He's like, is there a problem, officer? And, I mean, they ripped the door open, yank his ass out. They had our jackets off. It was just so cold. And we're trying to ask for our jackets back, right? Just it is super cold outside, and we're in our hands around the hood of the car and all this. And they're like, shut the F up, you know, the whole thing, right? So they finally figure out we are not the guys we're looking for, which, again, we knew that this is the thing. And they explained, like, are you guys familiar with the shotgun gang? And that was the nickname that these dudes had that were going around, basically going into businesses and just opening fire on people, right? Like restaurants, all this. I mean, just shooting people dead. We fit the description. I get it, right? So when they explained it, now we're all just kind of chuckling about it, like, no big deal. Whatever, man. I hope you guys find them. But as we're finishing up with the cops and everything's cool now, the group of friends that we're going to party with, come up. And the one guy that runs his mouth, he had nothing to do with this. By the time he was done talking and giving the cops grief, he got arrested. And we were like, dude, you're so stupid. He went by the nickname Gypsy. But we're like, that dumbass, right? Like, you weren't even here. Like, when you showed up, we're finishing up with the cops. And at this point, everybody's buddy-buddy, kind of chummy. You know what I mean? Everything's cool. Because if we had been the guys we're looking for, those guys were super dangerous. So I think they were very relieved. There were just three guys hoping to get drunk in a hotel room, right? And like, and everything was fine. So when our friends came up to see what was going on, we kind of explained the situation. And even the cops are chuckling about it. We're chuckling about it. And this guy just starts firing off at the cops. And we're like, dude. Like,
it's not going to end well.
What are you doing? And it didn't. So we ended up not having a party. And he ended up going to jail. Like, you are so stupid.
Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROD.
He's that guy, though. Right.
Just had to, right?
He couldn't just let it go. And again, he wasn't even there for any of the interaction that we had with the police. He got there after the fact and started running his mouth. And we're like, you are the dumbest mother. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you doing? Hola.
Hola.
Hey, first off, I want to give a quick shout out to all the Navy chiefs listening today. It's the 133rd birthday of the Navy Chief Petty Officer.
Okay. I would not have known that.
Nope. I only knew it because I saw somebody posted about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, back in the day, way back before I joined the Navy, I was a line cook at a Perkins.
Oh, yeah, living large, brother.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. So, worked the graveyard lots, right? So, hitting bar rush and all that stuff. Well, you get to know all the cops, all the local cops, because they come in after the bar rush and get their breakfast and all that stuff. Well, I'd gotten to be pretty good friends with one of the local cops and decided I was going to take a look at one of his guns that he had for sale. So one night before bar rush started, he said, hey, I brought that gun. Go get it out from under the front seat of my car. So I did. And right about that time, the bars closed and there was a bar right across the parking lot from the Perkins. And out rushes about, 15 guys and see me stand up, long hair, greasy shirt from cooking, with a gun out of a cop's car. and I don't know. I just thought it was a pretty funny story. And later on, while they're eating their drunk food, they're all pointing and, hey, I think that's the guy. I think that's the guy. Nobody ever said anything, but
yeah,
that was probably one of the funniest stories.
I miss Perkins.
Do they still exist?
Yes, they do. They're all over Florida. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama. Nothing wrong with Perkins. Again, 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, or dinner anytime you want to. You know, you just go in there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you have that in Waffle House.
When I was a kid, man.
Get the grease in your stomach before you go to bed.
If my dad offered to take us to Perkins, it was a great day.
They have everything.
Hey, you guys want to go to Perkins? I remember, oh my God, yes.
I mean, this place, you can get spaghetti and meatballs, and you know, you can get a hamburger, you can get biscuits and gravy, waffles, pancakes.
And they always kind of, I don't know, I didn't grow up with them.
Really?
I had them in Perkins upstate. In like D.C. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah, man. We're only 5 miles away, and I mean, anytime we got to go to Perkins, it was like, this is going to be a good day. Dad must be in a good mood.
Because the menu's huge. I mean, you could just, it was like.
And they have all the pictures of your food.
Yeah, it was like the first Cheesecake Factory in my mind. It was like, there's so many options.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I'm going to get. Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Did you ever put the creamers under your parents' car?
No.
No, I thought you said ketchup packets used to do that.
No, we used to do it with the creamers.
Did your parents get pissed?
Because we would go to Bob's Big Boy. Same thing.
Yeah,
so it was a big day to Bob's.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just thinking about the other day as I used one of those little creamers. I was like, God, my dad would get really pissed.
Why, do you hear him pop? Or do you just get milk all over the tires in the car?
I mean, it's just the tires.
Right.
In retrospect, it's not even that funny. I don't know. We just thought it was the funniest thing ever. And he would get so mad.
How many did you put on one under each tire?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was usually me and my brother. We had like a system.
Right. And he would lose his mind.
Every time. Probably why we kept doing it.
Right, because it makes them so mad.
And in retrospect, I get it. It's littering, but outside of that, like it's a tire and it went over cream. Like, what are you so upset about?
Right.
Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Beezus. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
You guys psyched me out. You dung me in there and then didn't talk to me.
This is what we do.
Are we talking to you now?
He thinks we're talking to him, but we're not.
Yeah, this is a recording.
All right, we got it?
Yep.
Okay, so I threw a huge massive senior party at mom's house. She had 10 acres of land, and about the last 5 acres of it was pretty much unusable. It was very, very swampy. Very, like, the horses wouldn't even go back. And this is kind of important for the end of the story here. Well, so it massive spody and a massive and 2 kegs, and the area had a little creek in between it, and I built a bridge with railings across it. I had a honey bucket, the whole nine, and entire town, everybody else around it, they all came. It was senior party, but it was pretty laid back. So a couple of older people came in, and one of them, he came in. He was already pretty tuned up. I mean, it's still light out because it doesn't get dark till 30, but we're getting the party rolling, and the fire gets rolling pretty good. And next thing you know, this guy starts popping off to one of my buddies, and I could tell it's starting to get pretty heated. And next thing you know, I see the dude pour out his bottle of beer, and he flips it over and holds it up like a bat. And I'm like, oh no, this is not going to be good. Cause the guy he's popping off to is my buddy. He's a Samoan guy. He's got a 2A state lifting records. And, when that guy holds up that bottle, he came up looking like King Kong grabbing a log. And I was like, oh no. So I come up behind that guy holding the bottle. I grab his wrist and I twist it out of his hand and, spun him around. And hold it down just in case he takes a swing at me. I was going to catch him with the bottle. But as soon as I got him unarmed, he's like, okay, all right. I'm leaving. Everything's cool. So he goes to leave. He's on the other side of the creek, and you can hear him yelling stuff. And then here comes one of my buddies, and he's like, yeah, he's saying that he's effed up bigger, fat Samoan bitches than him. And my buddy turns and looks at me, and I was like, oh, all right, let's go. So he starts trotting, that getting up the adrenaline going.
Of course.
Rips his shirt off, tosses it back to me, And as we come across that bridge, it's thundering. Because he's a big dude, about 260. He's rumbling across that bridge, and the dude turns, the back of his car is facing us, and he's half in the car, half out of the car. And his door is like the old 240Z where there's no metaling around the window.
Yeah.
It's just the glass. So my buddy straight up spear tackles him over his window, breaks his window, bending his door backwards, slams him on the ground. And anyways, beats the living crap out of him. Guy jumps in his car, cuts Brody's before he leaves. Well, he's got two locked gates to get out of. That's why we were like, well, we're good. We're golden. We can we can party on all night. They can't get us. And so he's stuck at that last gate. My mom's trying to get it open because he's got a mob behind him now. They're beating the crap out of his car. And he finally, my mom gets it open. He tears out of there. We lock everything back up, get everybody calmed back down. We get back to the party. We're drinking. We're having a good time. Next thing you know, cops. And I'm like, don't worry about it. No big deal. We're behind locked gates. No big deal. Don't worry about it. And then here comes my mom. Nope, it's an assault. They can come in. So I turn and like, run. And we just take off running. Everybody scatters. Well, I tried to tell everybody, don't run straight back. Run left or run right, because straight back is swamp. Well, everybody just ran. You panic, you run. They ran straight back. I run to the left. Nobody ends up getting away because they show up with night vision goggles and they truck through the swamp. I mean, they caught all of us. They set all of us down. They're sitting us all down. I got away because I knew we'd run. And, so later that night, my mom finally get a hold of my mom. Yeah, they're all gone. Everything, they dumped the spody out, dumped the 2 kegs of beer into the creek. We get back. I think they just wrote everybody MIPs because all the cars were locked in. inside the gates and everything. So we kept partying because they just, when they dumped the spodi out, all the fruit and stuff was just on the ground. So we were just eating the fruit off the ground.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
That'll mess you up bad.
Oh, yeah. It still did the trick.
Did your buddy get arrested for assault?
Well, so the next day I get a call because my mom got contributing,
to minors,
of a minor.
Yeah, that whole nine. So then I get called in for they already took plenty of witnesses. They just wanted me to come in. They're like, you're not going to get in trouble. Everything's accounted for. We just want you to come in, clarify what has been said, see what he said versus what you say, make sure, he's not trying to hang you. You're not trying to hang him. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I'm sitting there with the officers and he's like, you guys, it really wasn't that hard to find you guys. We really didn't even need the night vision goggles. It looked like a herd of elk down through that swamp. And it's like, well, yeah, Well, and then he goes, just before he lets me go, he goes, I got to ask you something. He goes, did that guy really say he's effed up bigger, fat Samoan bitches than him? And I go, yeah. He goes, I know that family. He goes, his sisters could have took that guy. He goes, I'm married to a Samoan. They are very large people. Yeah. And I go, yeah. He really worked them over good. It was great.
Wow.
Okay. But thank you, guys. I love you.
Yeah, man.
Right, thank you. All right.
Love you, too, bro. Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Seth. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So this happened about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit more. I worked for a very large car dealership in Bellevue.
All right.
I was a master technician there. So I get there early in the morning, about 7 o'clock, and I'm just doing my routine, coffee, that kind of thing. And then I go to grab a vehicle to walk outside so I could work on the vehicle. And as I'm walking out, one of my buddies who works there, he says, dude, turn around. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, turn around. You got to go inside right now. I was like, okay. So I started looking around as I'm turning around to walk away. And there is just a SWAT team. Just all over the place. I mean, every corner, every inch of this dealership, there's just armed cops and just everywhere, right? So I'm like, what is happening? So we go inside, and of course, everybody's freaking out. Rumors are just being tossed around. And the manager came out, and we asked him, say, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, I'm not going to say his name, but one of the employees had a kill list.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. So he had a list of people he wanted to kill. And I fortunately was not on that list, so I'm very fortunate.
Were they all your coworkers?
Yeah, there was 10 coworkers that were on a list that he wanted to murder.
I mean, did he write like, I want to kill these people? How do you know it's a kill list?
Yeah, where do they find this?
Okay, so it was left on the manager's desk.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Because the manager made he was first on the list.
Nobody
liked
the
manager. Okay. Nobody liked him. But, I mean, no one disliked him. I didn't think no one disliked him that much.
Right.
That's a big jump between disliking somebody and trying to kill
him. Did you have any idea that this guy had that kind of mindset?
No, but nobody liked this guy at all. And I actually, as a technician, I actually got into it with him a couple times, but we worked it out, because that's what I like to do. I don't like to leave any bad, blood out there.
Sure.
Turns out that's a good idea. So did you physically see the list?
Idea, right?
Did you actually see the list yourself?
Yeah, so I'm good. So basically, they searched the whole place. We're all on lockdown. They can't find him anywhere, which is good. But the story gets really, really dark and bad. They ended up finding him in Lake Washington on a boat. And they had him surrounded. And he actually ended up killing his pregnant girlfriend and himself.
Jesus
Christ, man.
Wow.
Yeah, he wasn't right. He wasn't lying. He wasn't messing around.
Good Lord, man.
Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Fairfax County Police will be providing updates on the naked burglar case during a press conference after another attempted break-in early Tuesday morning in Centerville.
The hell?
Detectives are currently searching for the man believed to be responsible for at least three burglaries and an attempted burglary in the same neighborhood. Now, on March 5th, investigators said the nude man entered a bedroom inside a home along Bodley Square about 5:15 in the morning when the resident was getting ready for work. After confronting the naked man ran off. Then, the next day, police officials said a resident found a footprint on a trash can that had been moved against a fence in their home. The resident believes it had been used to climb into their backyard. Detectives said evidence indicated there was another attempted burglary. Then the next day, around 4:30, at a home along Ealing Court, investigators said a resident was woken up by her dog barking. She saw the fully naked man inside her residence before, again, he ran off. An individual who entered the victim's home woke her up. She saw the man peering through one of the doors, then noticed he was naked. Fortunately, she was able to startle him off. And then on March 8th, the next day, at a home, detective said a resident heard footsteps in his hallway and saw a naked man standing in the doorway.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it's not the same guy?
In the same area, there was another report of a burglary with an individual who was also naked at this point in time. He was inside the house. He was on the second level of the home. The victim saw him. He asked her to be quiet. Fortunately, she screamed loud enough that startled him. And he again, the naked man, ran away. Man is in question, believed to be between 5'9" and 5'10", average build. I guess you would know.
Yeah.
In all the cases, the man had entered through an unlocked door, according to the police. But he is still he's still on the lam.
And not, always naked.
Always naked.
That's such a weird thing.
Our question, why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, at least steal some clothes, for Christ's
sake. I don't know what's worse. Getting an unexpected knock on your door from the cops or from a naked guy?
From the naked guy. Because no matter what he's going to say, it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
But if he's naked and he's knocking on your door, whatever his story is, like, this is weird, man. Why are you naked? Hello, Jake. Welcome to the men's room.
Yeah, that dude's a total weirdo. So I've been arrested over 44 times, so you guys could probably throw a dartboard or throw a dart at a dartboard with crimes on it, and I could tell you a story about it. But we'll go back in time to the first time that I got arrested was in 1999. I got kicked out of school for selling weed at school at Forge Elementary School when I was 11 years old. And
Jesus.
Decided to, steal my grandma's car and was going to run away to my dad's house because my parents were going through a divorce. But he lived in Fife at the time. So from Forks to Fife is about 145 miles. I made it a little bit past Squim, and my driving skills really weren't that good at that time. So 75 miles from the house, a log truck was kind of crossing the center lane, and I over-directed, went up an embankment and flipped the car onto its roof, and then the person that I had passed about 5 minutes ago on 101 pulled up, and they were like, "You're the only person in the car, dude." I was just sitting there, you know, with my foot still on the gas, upside down, strapped in, thinking the car was going to blow up like a James Bond movie or something. And the cop came up, and he also was like, "What the hell? Like, how? Where are you from? How did you make it this far?" And that was the first time I got arrested.
What's the most recent time you got arrested?
2022, another vehicle, possession of a stolen vehicle. I bought a stolen vehicle with a counterfeit $100 bill up in Capitol Hill from some smoker dude, and went on a little bit of a crime spree with my ex, but I got arrested at that point because she called it in after I wouldn't give her any dope. She says, "Oh, I'm calling you." So she took off, took the key with her. It was like one of those push-to-start cars, so I didn't notice the key was gone. And it was still on, so I was like, I seen the cops pull up behind me. I'm like, "Oh, crap, I'm going to take off." But it wouldn't go anywhere because she had the key and was outside of the vehicle. And so, but I've been clear since then, June 19th, 2022, got clean and sober.
Damn.
That was the thing.
How much time did you spend in jail?
Over my entire life?
Yeah.
Let's see. I've been to prison twice, but I only did, I think, like 22 months total in prison. All the other stuff was just, you know, a six-month bid here, four-month bid there. I've done over 2.5 years in King County Jail downtown.
Okay.
What's, I mean, what's worse, just being in county or being in prison?
Oh, county for sure.
Yeah, because sure, you got everybody county. In there together, right?
Right.
Waiting on court cases?
It stinks. It stinks. It's nasty. You don't get any, like, I mean, you don't get freedom in prison, but you get a little bit more freedom than you would in county because you can go and get a job, workplaces. You got a key to your own cell. You go to the weight pile or whatever. Go to yard whenever it's out time. But, yeah, county is a drag. There's more drugs in county, though, if you work here into that.
Well, hey, that's a bonus.
That's something to keep in mind.
Exactly.
Well, if you get locked up again, I hope it's in Pierce County because I hear the cornbread is to die for.
No, I got 3 kids and one on the way, dude. I'm not going back.
All right.
Jesus, you've been busy.
Yeah.
Damn.
Now I know what your new hobby is. Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803, right?
I meant to ask him, at some point, when you're giving somebody a fake $100 bill for a car,
yeah,
they both got to kind of know.
I'm sure. Oh, I mean, one, yeah. If I'm selling a car for $100, right, I'm probably not on the level. So you giving me a counterfeit bill, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll try to spend it somewhere.
I guess you're right.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
So back maybe about 15 years ago, I grew up in Hawaii. So rolling around with one of my buddies, and we'd pull off into one of these parking lots. We decide it's a good spot to smoke a bowl. It's like an empty parking lot, you know, next to like what seemed to be like an abandoned river. So we start lighting it up, and I look in my rearview. We park and we start lighting it up. I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a truck, like hauling butt towards the back of my truck. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And they stop right behind me, and about 4 dudes jump out of the bed of the truck, wearing like full-on tactical gear, and they just surround my truck. And I guess long story short, it turns out I was parked on like some kind of a reserve for fishing.
All right.
And all these guys that jumped off this truck to bust me for smoking weed on their property were like Department of Natural Land and Resources. And, you know, they put me on the side, they sit me on the curb, they put me in cuffs and this and that. And turns out the guy that actually put the cuffs on me was one of my best friend's dads.
Ooh.
So long story short, they kind of just let me off the hook.
Were they just busting you for smoking weed?
Or was it that you were on their property?
Yeah. Probably a little bit of both.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I would figure out in Hawaii, there's not really anywhere to run. I mean, eventually, you should be able to catch this individual. Correct?
Sure.
I mean, unless they get on a plane and fly out. I mean, you can only run so far.
And to be honest with you, man, I feel like if you're going to do something in your car, it's almost better to do it in a packed parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. You don't want to be the lone car in a parking
lot. You never think about it when you're younger, but it's like, whatever you're doing, the cops are going to come and visit your vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're the only car in the parking lot, right, and it's always in the corner. Like
behind the fast food joint. Like, they just drive through there looking for that.
Right. Yeah. If you get a chance, check out this video. The video that went viral this week on a handcuffed woman escaping a Michigan police car through a cracked open window and running off without the officers noting.
Have you seen this, Ted?
Yeah. Now, this happened on Saturday. Officer came across a vehicle parked in an abandoned business.
Right.
Back to what we were saying. The officer identified the female passenger in the vehicle. He used a fingerprint scanner, determined that she had an outstanding parole violation. Officers then took her into custody, handcuffed her, put her in the back seat of the car. Now, while still in handcuffs, the woman managed to escape from the patrol car by slipping through a partially open window.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, officers were searching her vehicle.
I don't know how that window didn't break.
She was very adept at getting through that.
Now, keep in mind, this was Saturday. She remained at large as of late Monday. An account called Block Paper Weekly, they post about goings-on in the city of Muskegon. I captured this real escapade on a Facebook Live video. And that guy's pretty colorful when he's talking about what's going on. On Tuesday, Police rearrested the woman who escaped custody by climbing through the open window. In a press release, they stated that someone reported a woman to police to be in an abandoned home on Tuesday morning. And around 9 a.m., they discovered it was the woman who had escaped custody inside the home. My question is this.
Is she still in the handcuffs?
Is she still in the handcuffs? Which we do not know. But she was put in the county jail there. Charges against her include fleeing a police officer and felony home invasion for breaking into the abandoned property.
I mean, that's kind of the tough part. Is when I first saw that video, too, and she runs off. First, you forget how much you use your arms because it just looks awkward running. Yeah. But I was with you. I was like, how are you going to get those cuffs off?
That was my first thought. Like, cool, you got away, but it's kind of obvious that you're up to no good if you go anywhere and you're in handcuffs.
And they've already fingerprinted you, so it's not like...
I don't know what she was thinking, but the video was great. Yep. It's like, wow, look at her go.
Our question, why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Richard. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi there.
Hola.
Do you guys remember the Unabomber?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Back in the 90s. So I came home from work, and there was a card from the FBI on my front door with a note that said to call them. And I had no idea what it was about, and I was really frightened to call them back, but I did. And I talked to the FBI agent, and it turns out that the this was before it was solved, obviously. They were looking for a guy who had used my address to get a driver's license in the state of Washington, and he had a PhD in physics and was a bit of a anarchist and anti-government type. So they were looking at thousands and thousands of people that fit that description, and it turned out that he had visited the previous owners and gotten a driver's license with that address, even though he never lived there.
So and he so shared an address with you.
I was questioned about the Unabomber.
Okay. And obviously you know nothing about that. They didn't tell you who it was.
I didn't know the guy, but I did know the previous owners of the house. So I asked them about it afterwards, and they were shocked to realize that the guy had used their address to get a driver's license.
How long did you have to talk to the FBI agents? And did they seem suspicious of you at all?
No, they didn't. I was very relieved when they were asking about a person that I had no, that I didn't know, and that this, I had just bought this house. So when he got the driver's license, it was before I had purchased it.
So you're trying to tell me Ted Kaczynski lived in your house for a while?
No, just used the address.
Or did he just use the address, or did he actually stay there for a while to be able to pull that off?
He knew the previous this person was not Ted Kaczynski, but knew the previous owners. But he fit some psychological profile that the FBI was investigating thousands of people across the country who they thought might be the kind of person who could make a bomb and want to send people, and he had stayed at the house.
Okay. All right. Damn. That's
a little weird.
That's wacky.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel if I came home and there's a card from the FBI, call us. Like,
it's not a birthday card, no money in it.
Do I call, like, again, because of my mind, I haven't done anything, but then you start going, have I? Have I done, this is the freaking FBI. Yeah. Have I done something federal? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or like, what did I joke about?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I'd have to call.
Well, we did have the cops call here at one point in time because of a caller who called up and admitted to, running drugs across the border?
They were running drugs through the border.
Yeah, like cocaine or something.
But the thing is, it's over an international border, and this guy's telling us the story, and we're like, how did you pull that off? And this is why they got really upset. He's like, oh, I got a buddy that works Border Patrol, so I always go through his gate or whatever. Mm-hmm. So basically, his buddy that works for Border Patrol is aware that I'm running drugs or in on it together, right? So the guy called, told the story. We didn't give it much thought, and was it the FBI or Department of Homeland Security or something?
Yeah, somebody.
I mean, they were here, and I remember they wanted the recording because that's his confession, right? And I remember Ben said to them, he's like, hey, if you want, I can try to find his number. And this guy looked at Ben and said, we can get his number. It's like, Jesus, man. Yeah, they were just there for the tape. It's like, wow, man.
Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Pirate and booty.
Hola.
So, this is a couple years after 9/11. I was in high school.
I lived in Spanaway. Late at night, my buddy calls me up and says, hey, there's a bunch of cops down your road. I lived in a cul-de-sac. I was like, cool. I want to see what's going on. So I go outside in my shorts, and as soon as I step out my door, I am greeted by a female cop holding a pistol, a male cop holding an AR or something. And then a cop came around my back fence, hopped over it with a shotgun, so I pointed at my face. Who are you? What is your name? Blah, 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 blah. My name's Ken. He's like, what do you know about your neighbors? And brand new neighbors thinking, oh, no, terrorists, something like that. And they go, do you know Jerry Maine Valenis or something like that? And I was like, you mean, you know, my name, Maine Valenis? And I was like, yeah, that's my brother. He's upstairs asleep. And they go, can you get him for us? And I was like, sure, you guys want to go inside and arrest him? And they go, no, you need to have him come down. So I opened the door. I was like, hey, bro, someone's at the door for you. Come on downstairs. He goes, tell him to go away. I was like, nope, you got to come downstairs. And he goes, oh, okay. And I was like, do yourself a favor. Put some pants, a shirt, and some shoes on. He goes, okay. He comes down, instantly gets arrested, thrown in the car, and they left. So what happened was, earlier that day, him and his buddies come to me with a great plan to steal his buddy's stepdad's guns to trade in for weed.
Jesus Christ.
Told him it was completely stupid. The guy's going to jack you. You know, he's going to steal your stuff, blah, 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 blah. You guys are going to get arrested. They didn't believe me. Well, as soon as his buddy's sister got home, saw it, and asked what happened, he had a whole story prepped up, like, I don't know, someone robbed the place. But as soon as she asked him, he folded like a piece of paper. Gave everybody's names, where they lived, what their age is, everything.
So your brother got arrested?
Oh, yeah. He had two felony counts when he was 15.
Wow.
Jeez, man.
Wow.
How long did he stay in jail?
Oh, that was a long time ago. I don't know, under a year, but he was on house arrest for a couple of years because he kept smoking weed.
Are you still talk to your brother?
Oh, of course I do. He turned around, lives a great life in Hawaii, got a great wife, you know, real good guy. He just trusted the wrong people and didn't listen to me when we were younger.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who steals guns at 15 is the one that gets to end up living his life in Hawaii.
Isn't that how it works that way? Yeah, really?
Look out the window right now. Exactly. The guy's in Hawaii.
And he's still guns.
Why were you speaking to an officer of the law? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola, bitch, hola.
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 So I was 19. This is about 1990. We're having a little party. I'm renting a room out from a friend, and we're having a little party downstairs, smoking weed, drinking beer. And, you know, this is when the cops could just come and knock on your door and step in and, like, raid you if they felt like it. You know, they didn't have the cameras on their chest. Well, the West Valley Police in Utah went to take care of a domestic violence that was happening above us in the apartment above us. And on the way down, I guess they smoked pot. And as soon as they knocked on the doors, you know, the whole place shuts up. The music goes down and everybody's looking out the peephole and it's like, cops, cops. So finally, you know, I go off to the back of my to my room that I'm renting, and mind you, I'm selling a lot of weed, and I just purchased a gun, a sawed-off shotgun from somebody, and the cops came in and they found when they came into my room, I didn't know those things. I didn't know you couldn't alter a weapon. I was 19. I was just trying to defend my loot, you know, at the time.
Sure.
And they. Yeah, they came in, they seen the gun, and then they looked around my room, found 10 pounds of weed.
Jeez.
Oh.
And you don't even know. There's more than yeah, boy, it gets crazier. That's if I tell you the rest of it. But my story is that the cops end up asking me, they're like, all right, so check it out. This gun and this weed, you tell us whose it is, and we won't arrest you. So I'm like, all right, it's mine. You know, so they didn't arrest me.
Did they arrest you?
The Valley Police. They took off, but you know I'm doing the victory dance with my girl in the bed, and you know just glad that I didn't go to jail yet. And they come back through with the special agent. Can I say names here? Because this is like 1990. You know, 30
doesn't
years
matter.
Ago.
I mean, it's not necessary,
really. Right?
But it's an ATF agent. They come back with a alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agent and arrest me. I'm 19 years old and picking up charges. I'm looking at 10 years in federal prison. And after about 2 years of fighting it, I got it down to 5 years because my attorney got the weed pushed out because of technicalities that how they, what's it called when they question you and they bring you back to jail. And they were trying to insist that that I had the guns to protect my stuff, not my family. I was saying I was protecting my family, not my stuff.
Yeah, right. But anyway. Wow, that's crazy.
Jesus Christ. 10 pounds
Jesus
of weed.
God almighty. Okay, comedian Craig Gass is coming up on the program. And we've got your emails on the way next to the Men's Room at KISW.com.